I said 6 feet. it's time for the CIT Archive Show. I'm your host, Sophie, and I'm joined today by my co-host,
Michael.
And
we are joined by a very, very special guest.
Yeah.
P-Bone.
Woo-hoo!
Whoop, whoop.
John Pantherbone.
John Pantherbone.
The legend.
Do you go by John, P-Bone? Do you have a preference?
Well, DJ name is P-Bone. I've just always gone by that.
Right.
It's just like a short nickname that I've had as a kid and just kind of stuck.
As a kid? Whoa.
Or as a youth, I guess.
Yeah,
it's just Pantherbone, shortened P-Bone.
Right. Mm. And your Instagram handle. It's a really good one.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
First one.
Yeah, I love your Instagram. Every time I open Instagram and I see a P-Bone story, I know I'm either going to see some cool photos or like something about a motorbike.
Yeah. that sounds like me.
Yeah. So yeah, we have a really awesome interview planned today for y'all. P-Bone has been a pillar to the station for a while, and we're gonna dive deep into what it was like since he first joined in 2011.
Yeah, around there.
Yeah. Before we get started though, wanted to acknowledge that we host a show from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territories of the Musqueam Nation at UBC, and I've been very privileged to be a settler on this land as of 2021, and I've been able to have the opportunity to share the history of CITR and Discorder, which is a huge part of the city's culture. And as always, this is a show about history, and a big part of it for me is that history is never in the past, and we must always remain critical of the systems that brought us here and where we are today. So wherever you're listening from, think of where you are and how you got there. P-Bone.
Yeah, thanks. Well,
yeah.
Thanks for having me here. It's a
thanks honor for being
to be here.
Here.
Honor to be here on the Archives
on.
Show.
Yeah.
The Chives Show.
When I first started doing my research on this episode, I was with JT and Cora. They're like my station parents. I asked them everything. I always get lectures from them. And I asked Cora, like, hey, like, what do you know about P-Bone? What should I ask? And Cora was like, he has the coolest name, he rides a sick motorcycle, and he has a really weird car.
Yeah, I got a really weird Japanese import vehicle.
Oh, it's like, is it one of those little trucks?
Yeah, it's like called a K-truck.
Okay.
Is it like the stuff that they drive on like the countryside in all the movies, kind of?
Yeah, they're really small, efficient vehicles meant for city, because I don't really drive a whole lot, so.
That's so cool. Do you see those around a lot, or?
There's actually quite a few in town. Like we see each other, we just like wave at each
other. So awesome.
They
stand
out. What are they called? K-trucks?
Yeah, K-E-I. I don't
K-trucks?
Know. I just found them on Craigslist.
And yes.
I'm just going to go for it.
That's awesome.
When I went to Tokyo, I saw them all the time.
Yeah, they're crazy efficient, like super easy to park. There's so many benefits to having them.
Right.
Nice. Oh my goodness. But,
yeah, no, thanks for having me here.
Yeah.
I really think the Archives Collective is really cool. Like, it's really amazing what you're doing, and it's like should be applauded and supported.
Thank you. And thank you for your support as well.
Something that the station needs.
Absolutely.
It's a huge benefit to us. And like, it's such a great idea because I've never really thought of it before until it came into place. And now that I'm seeing what you're doing, I really can see like the huge benefits that the collective
is.
So your work is like very important and should be valued.
Yeah,
so
thank you.
Really
that means a lot.
Thankful for what you're doing.
Yeah. And it's been almost a year since the Archives Collective, well, the archive has become a thing. It was like last spring that JT pretty much like fixed up the space and everything. So
it's
cool to see how far we've
really
come.
It's really cool. Like I feel like it's one of the start of like a new idea or like collective that can stay around the station for a long time.
Yeah,
so
that's the plan.
Your work is really... it's really beneficial, I would say.
Yeah, thank you.
So thanks for doing this. And then like the other really cool thing is like you're already uncovering like so many stories that I didn't even know about. Like I've been around in like 14 years and like just checking out the episodes that you've done, there's like so many cool histories that you've done. Like you did like the history of Discorder was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like
that was a fun one.
Yeah, you kind of it was originally meant to be just like a show guide for the radio station, essentially. Is that
it was like the what was it, the orientation booklet that we had. There's like different versions of it, and that's like part of it, but it's been updated throughout the years, but we have no idea who wrote it, so we kind of like tried to piece it together from what we saw in the manual. And then like, because we noticed that they used very like, if you know, kind of language. So we're like, what does this mean? So yeah, it was like JT, Michael, and I like trying to piece everything together. That was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine it's pretty hard to find some of all that early histories because for sure. A lot of it's out there, but it's kind of locked in people's heads and it might not be written down.
Exactly.
So that's why it's great that we have a collective kind of find these histories and kind of document them and make sure it's written down so it's not just locked in people's heads.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember JT. Didn't JT say he wanted to interview like someone who was like one of the founding members or something? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which would have been crazy because
that could be
I wonder
cool.
how old they would be by now.
Well, it's all the way back to like 1937.
So
that would have been insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We shall investigate.
I was looking at some of the documents. I was doing a bit of research yesterday looking at names like presidents, and it went all the way back to 1937. So I bet you could go through that document and just try to find the more recent ones and maybe start reaching out to some of the past presidents. Like,
that's a great idea.
Should get to it.
The other thing that you've kind of covered was like even like the history of CHR at this like some of the UBC listed history, and you pointed out some things that I didn't even know, and then potentially incorrect information, maybe the thing about the radio club. The radio club wasn't necessarily the early iteration of CHR. That was
A completely separate thing.
Yeah,
I think they like engineered radios.
Yeah, like ham radio.
Yeah,
but when you look at UBC history, it kind of
them together. They use them interchangeably. Yeah,
yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it took JT to realize that.
It just takes like researchers and archivists like yourself.
JT knows everything.
Yeah, as we say.
That's super cool. I didn't even know that. Yeah. The other thing you've brought up that is so cool is like the history of Shindig.
Yeah.
That was a good episode.
Yeah, that was funny.
I had no idea myself. Like, I just kind of came here and just Shindig was a thing, and I just assumed it was kind of...
I
thought it was a Ben Lai thing. I thought that he kind of started up and...
Apparently, it's been around for ages.
Yeah. So it
started, but he was the host for a while, right?
Yeah, he was like the long-time host.
Right.
And, but I didn't know, like, how it came about, and essentially it was a... Battle of the Bands on campus.
Yeah, it was. I found the article for that by complete chance because we were trying to make the timeline with JT. And I just searched like CITR article, and that was like one of the things that came up. And
yeah,
the crazy story. If anybody's curious, you should go back and listen to the episode. Yeah. The story is absolutely absurd.
And we could do a Shindig specific episode, I think, because there's a lot more there.
That's
it's been around for a while.
We could do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but you've covered quite a bit of the history already. Like, I didn't know it was from the guy peeing on stage
and the pig's head.
Guys, peeing.
Oh, okay. Those.
I think it was a communal thing.
Jeez.
I believe it was a planned
punk
activity
as it gets.
from the wording that they used. Yeah.
Yeah. Did they cover how the name came about, Shindig? Did you touch upon that? I can't recall.
I think we did. I think.
What was it?
I forgot what
it was.
It was
named after a song?
I think it was like from like an old TV show or something.
Oh,
like
okay.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know where they got other things from, but we will not say that on air.
Yeah. Yeah, like that stuff I didn't know. And like, I'm sure there's a lot of past members and like a lot of people that know that info, but I didn't. So you guys are covering like, lots of cool history here.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. Yeah. We're so curious about how you got started here at the station. So you were
We could probably touch upon that later. I got kind of like a rough timeline.
Okay.
But I also wanted to ask like you a few things.
Yeah.
So like
shoot, far away.
JT is a library science background.
Yeah. He is in the MASLIS program, which stands for Masters of Archival and Library Sciences.
Yeah.
Library Information Sciences.
Library Information Sciences, yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's where the archive background
comes
from.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And your media...
Yeah, I graduated from media studies last year in November. Yeah.
And like so the archiving is a bit of an interest to you?
Yeah, it's always been for sure. I'm also... JT got me interested in digital humanities as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I really like how broad the program was.
Yeah.
I think all kinds of media is...
Okay.
I'd say. Yeah.
And you, Michael, are economics?
Oh, wow. You looked into it, huh?
Oh, we talked about that before.
I think, so I study economics. I'm graduating in May. And I got involved in it because I believe JT was one of the first people I met at the station after I really started getting involved, and I was coming around every day. I was like a hermit here, basically. And I had mentioned to JT that I would love to help out with the archives work and things like that because I just really wanted to get involved. And I think around December, over the break, JT was like, hey, this reading room thing is opening up. And so I started joining the reading room. And then I met Sophie from my reading room volunteer shifts every Tuesday and Fridays, if you guys would like to come. Tuesdays, Fridays, 2 to 4 p.m. The archives room, if you want to check out the cool issues that we have. Shameless plug.
Shout out.
And then so I met Sophie, and I think I was working with you on that episode, right?
I think that's how it happened. You were helping me like research for an episode, and then I was like, why don't you just host with me? And then that's how it kind of started.
Yeah, and then we were organizing like the first meeting of the collective, and I think you were just like, do you want to be my co-lead?
Yeah, because Michael was very actively helping out. Yeah. And I feel like as a non-student, it was hard because I'm not here that often anymore. So I don't really know what goes on like on the day-to-day. So it was good to have like someone else like help out with the
With leading the collective.
For sure.
Yeah, I feel like we work very well together.
Yeah.
I feel like we complement each other
well.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the on-air banter that you have. That's cool. Is there like kind of goals or like kind of milestones of the collective that you like to achieve? Because there's so much material and people out there that you can cover, but is that like you want to do an archive of Discorder?
Yeah. Well, we had our first ever event this week on Tuesday.
Yeah, it looked like it was really good.
It was really
good. Those old videos.
I think it was great because I hadn't seen any of the footage before.
Yeah.
And when I posted about it, the person that hosts Duncan's Donuts.
Yeah.
He like reached out and he was like, I have that video somewhere. I can like find it for you and send it over. I'll look through my drive. So like it's these events that sort of like bring people together and like spark that acknowledgement of the past. So that was really cool. And, you know, like we created this capsule to be like in the archive in the future.
Yeah.
So we're like thinking about the past and the future.
And also, because like we're pretty new. We are a new collective, I think.
Yeah, since November.
Since November.
The newest.
And so, I think we are the newest, right? And so I think a big part of that is just getting the people here to be interested in the history of it as well. And we've been getting good, like good new people to join as well.
Yeah,
like,
people are excited about it.
People are excited about it. And so, and we've been getting lots of people helping us out with it. Like, for example, the event we had. We had Danny and Jay, we had Sophia, we had Roz, we had Nolan helped out a little bit too, right?
Yeah.
And then we have JT obviously supervising all of this.
The all-knowledgeable being.
And so, we just want to get people interested in it and just get people to learn more. And that's why it feels nice when you're like, oh, I learned so much about.
I just also think that there's a lot of overlap in the Archives Collective. Like, we manage the music library.
Yeah.
And then, like, Discord itself, like I think there's a lot there that kind of comes together.
Yeah There's so many topics you can cover, but
yeah,
I would say just
amount.
Like don't burn yourself out or like sometimes you can maybe take on too much, or sometimes you might not hear feedback, but it's always appreciated for sure.
Yeah,
that's why there's two of us. We got this.
Yeah, totally. And there's like so many people you could interview too, like Duncan for sure.
Duncan.
Like Chris Riffick, like Brenda, all kinds of people that have like tons of information.
Yeah.
And even probably like really older members that you can probably start reaching out to contact.
Exactly.
So I imagine you have so much content that you could.
Yeah.
And also just like our work, like just because of like how important like CITR and Discorder has been to like the culture of and like the arts in Vancouver. It's not just like you don't just learn about CITR and Discorder. You learn about just, I guess, the times in general as a whole.
Yeah. Everything is interconnected.
Yeah, so it's like a good, you learn so much more about just the city itself.
Yeah.
And it was really funny timing, like right before you got here, I caught a man, like just, that sounds, but like someone like looking into the station, and then I open the door, I go and I'm like, oh, hey, like, he was like, sorry, I'm just peeping. I'm like, no, dude, like, what's up? Like, and his name was Brian, and he told me that he wrote for Discorder in the early 2000s.
Oh, cool.
And then we started talking about like his work here, and like he was saying, this is like a way better location. It used to be like over there and what is now the Life Building, and like this is more accessible. And yeah. And then I showed him the archive, and it was just like crazy serendipitous timing because we were just about to do the show and he got to see the, and I showed him the articles that he wrote on the open source. The digital archive, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, there's so many people out there that just have all this history and like contributions over the years.
The way you described that was crazy. Like, yeah, I caught this guy
peeping.
This guy peeping.
He was curious. Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the station has like so much history out there in comparison to a lot of the groups on campus, because we're a community radio station as well. So we have a lot of community members that stay around for a long time after they've graduated and they continue to contribute. And I don't think that's probably the case for a lot of groups on campus. Like oftentimes when they graduate, they kind of just move on.
For sure. Like,
for example, take like the, and also just like lasting this long, you know, I mean, like the radio club, I think as far as I could tell, like, I don't think they're around anymore. Like like the thing they confuse us with, like the people who like work on the radio. I think, because I remember when I first came to UBC, I was interested in radio and I thought that was the radio station.
Oh, really?
But, and so like I knew it was like around when I first started in like 2020, but I don't think it's around anymore.
Oh, it was around in 2020, the radio club. Oh.
No, I don't think it's around anymore.
We should look into that too.
We should, yeah.
How did you like very first get started at CITR? Like your very first, was it an email you dropped by the station or?
I go first.
Yeah, a table.
It was a couple summers ago. I wanted to start a radio show, and I did all the training, and then life happened, and then I didn't come back till like last year, and then I also like wasn't sure what I wanted to do my show on, but then everything kind of fell into place. Like I took this course called Art and the City. That was my last ever course that I took at UBC, and it was in Berlin. It was like a 2-week thing. And we visited a bunch of archives and I was like, whoa, this is really cool. Very important to have access to this sort of thing. And I came back and I was talking to my friend Nolan. We were in the record library and I told him that I was interested in archives. And he was
Shout out Nolan.
And he was like, you should talk to JT. JT is like the resident archivist. I'm like, we have a resident archivist. Like, what do you mean? And I reached out to JT and then... Yeah, met up with him. It was great. It was like the stars aligned. And then I became the first ever Reading Room volunteer. And that was...
You were the first.
Great timing.
A year ago. Yeah. It was like last summer.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, serendipitous.
And then the show started this year.
The collective was fairly recent.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah.
That's crazy. For me, I remember when I wrote like my university applications, like I was like, yeah, one of the things I want to do on campus, because it would be like one of the prompts, like, what would you do on campus? I'd be like, yeah, I'd be like a DJ. But I was...
So you signed up with UBC Electronic Club?
In general, when I was like applying to a bunch of different like universities, I would just put like, yeah, I'd be like a DJ on the radio station. Like, yeah, you are listening to, now you know, blah, 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 FM. And this is, I don't know, Prince, 1999.
Yeah.
But I think like, yeah, life happened and I just didn't do it. I was so caught up with like school and like things like that.
Yeah.
And also like my first year was like a COVID year. So I didn't really have the first year experience that everybody else did.
Yeah. Oh, you're just at home.
Yeah, I was just at home in Indonesia. I'd wake up at 3, 4 p.m. and then go to class on my computer. And then that's it. But then I got very lucky as well because so I got a part-time job like 2 years ago at this cafe and one of my coworkers was Naomi. And
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
One of my coworkers was Naomi and like I became friends with Naomi and Naomi was like, yeah, I'm interviewing Nardwar. I was like, why are you interviewing Nardwar? I was like, why are you interviewing? He's like, yeah, no, it's like the radio station. I was like, oh, I had no idea. So that was like my first introduction to it here. Because like I'd walked past this so many times, but I didn't know what this was. I thought this was like, I don't know, like storage room or something. Like I didn't know what this was. Because it's like just in the corner of the nest. But then...
I guess sometimes you might not know what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And then like Naomi told me about it, but I didn't have the confidence to come back then. And then like a year later, I was like, you know, it's my last year. I might as well come. Mm-hmm. They had an open house. I showed up and I've been showing up ever since.
That's oh, nice. Yeah, it's a great place just to hang out and just like meet people and contribute in different ways. And,
I've met so many cool people here. Like, for it's sure. Awesome,
everybody's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, continue to stay involved. And too bad you was later in your degree, but you could still contribute and hang out.
Yeah. No, I
even
think
as graduated peeps, we got to get the community.
We got to get the community involved.
Going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, I mean, well, yeah, I mean, you just wrote a stunning feature.
Oh.
For Discorder.
Thank you.
Yeah, an incredible feature.
So did you.
So did we.
We both wrote different things about DIY spaces in the city.
We did.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yes, look out for
check
that.
Check it out.
For the next Discord, for the latest Discorder.
The latest came out yesterday.
Came out today, no?
Today?
I think it's today.
I picked it up yesterday.
You picked it up yesterday?
Yeah. I was at a cafe on Main.
Oh, my bad.
And they had it there.
My bad.
Same.
Nice.
Same thing.
Great work. Yeah, I mean, like, it's really important to have a lot of archives, I think. And, like, we kind of think that we have a lot of our own archives. And, like, the UBC has all the Discorder magazines scanned.
Yeah.
But it could be cool to have our own. Is that part of what
you're doing? Oh, like, having, like, digital? Like,
yeah.
Oh, we already have that.
But I guess it's part of the UBC collections. And I don't think all issues are in there yet. I think it stops at around 2020.
Oh, really?
Or no.
Are you sure?
2022.
I thought, like,
I know that it has to be updated for sure, but I, yeah.
Yeah. Because I know we have, like, the open library collection.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, we do.
But there's goals to improve the search abilities because it's not perfect. Like, it'd be cool to search by, like, keywords and, like, images, and it only reads text. Like, it doesn't really read any, like, graphic text. So I think there's goals to improve that eventually. Mm. JT's really into coding, too. So,
yeah.
JT does a great
job. Well, JT can do everything.
Everything. That's
no,
what
you
say,
seriously. I think if I need my mortgage restructured one day, I can just call JT. He'll do it for me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's good to have, like, your own kind of archives, and like, we got the website, like, we got the old podcast system, and
nothing
but
beats,
like, you never know,
nothing
with archiving
beats the physical stuff,
exactly
though.
Yeah,
like, stuff can just go down, like,
yeah,
and you don't expect it. I mean, take for example, like, our social media pages.
Oh yeah.
Facebook and Instagram, but there's so much content there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then just because of the media ban, we've just like lost all that
for sure. Mm.
You can't access it.
So
it's good that you're doing what you're doing, like, mm-hmm. the archive mindset, because mm-hmm. you just never know.
Yeah, it's all about protecting the content, caring for it.
JT does a fantastic job with that. Every time he sees something that, like, he's like, oh, this looks old and we should probably keep copies of it.
Yeah.
Just yanks it.
It's very thoughtful.
Yeah,
for sure. Do you want to play tracks or anything?
Yes.
Do you have any?
Yeah.
We actually had a track in
mind. We have
mind.
A track.
Well, not that.
Oh.
Not that one.
Oh.
We didn't have anything in mind.
Maybe. Yeah, we didn't really
play a PSA,
any.
Take a break or something.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. We'll be right back after a quick break.
Cool.
Tune in to Canada Post Rock with your host, P-Bone, where he plays the best in post rock, experimental, electronic, noise, and anything he can put the word post in front of. Fridays, 7:30 to 9 p.m., only on CITR 101.9 FM. I mean, if you had a radio show, P-Bone would probably listen to your show, so... Storytelling is powerful. Our stories carry personal and collective histories, build bridges of understanding, and shine light on unseen truths. Your story, your voice, your power. CITR and Discorder is excited to announce the release of 5 unique podcasts as a part of its Power and Voice podcast incubation program. Power and Voice is an entry-level educational program created by CITR to surpass traditional barriers to entry into the medium of spoken word radio and podcasting. The result is a series of podcasts demonstrating a wide diversity of work in genre, structure, and content. Tune in every day from April 14th to 18th from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. to hear power and voice storytellers share their stories on their own terms and in their own words.
The Bike Kitchen welcomes you to Access Night, a weekly event in the shop offering free tool rentals for queer and trans folks, with the purpose being to make bike mechanics more inviting and accessible to folks traditionally excluded from the industry. Visit the Bike Kitchen on Wednesdays from 6:15 to 9 p.m., located in the basement of the Life Building. We hope to see you there.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM,
Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, and the Skakuya, Talitin, Homasqueam, Mustayo. Hello, you're listening to the CIT Archive Show. And it is Thursday, and it is 6:27 p.m., and I am joined today by Michael, my co-host. My name is Sophie, by the way, and we're interviewing P-Bone today, and P-Bone's also interviewing us, and it's the first time we're doing an episode where the sun is still out, so that's really nice.
True.
Yeah, it feels very different. The aura in the room is beautiful.
We're about to listen to Deftones outside, but there were way too many people.
Yeah, I told Michael that he should listen because he's trying to get into them or like listening to them for the first time. I'm like, you should do it while it's sunny
I'm
out.
I'm trying to give them another chance. I tried this last summer and it didn't go well, but I think, I don't know why, I was listening to Shove It and I was like, why is this is actually kind of good.
You know.
Actually not bad.
Yeah.
This Chino Moreno guy, I think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. So we were just talking a bit about the archives, our, I guess, overall mission and our future goals and what we've like found so far. We're talking about our show and we wanted to touch on the 604 Decades Open House that P-Bone attended.
Yeah.
And that we did an episode on. Yeah.
Yeah. I really wanted to check it out because, well, Janice McKenzie was involved. Mm-hmm. She was a panelist and she's a former, well, longtime CITR member and board member and just a really great person who was at the panel, so I wanted to catch it for sure. And then I caught your show where you're talking about promoting the stuff.
Yeah.
And you selected a few Discorder magazines to be displayed there.
Yeah
we did.
Must have been hard. How did you pick like this? I think you touched upon it.
So
JT, a lot of it was JT.
Yeah,
right?
A lot of it was JT. Yeah. And then JT gave assignments, at least for me, JT gave assignments to the reading room volunteers. Like at first it was like, hey, 604 is doing the, like this open house. And they were like, can you find any really cool stuff from like the 90s, basically, in Discorder? Mm-hmm. And yeah, we had like a whole Excel sheet of things that we thought were cool. And then the one we found together was the Blaine Theriot comic.
Yeah.
Yeah. From
The New Pornographers.
Yeah, The New Pornographers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a filmmaker now.
Yeah.
And yeah, he had like a series of comics and
And it was I think like it was this really kind of messed up comic.
It was really funny
though. About this kid, like his he just hates his family. He's just like, I hope they die.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
So we like
selected a few options, and then we passed them on to the 604 team, and then they kind of picked from those.
Oh, okay.
Kind of, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, they were pretty prominently displayed there.
Yeah, with the hangers, right?
Yeah, there was tons of people milling about, checking
out.
So
awesome.
Yeah, they look like really great selections. Yeah. And I imagine it was difficult because there's just so much Discorder content.
Yeah.
But I think there were great choices for sure.
How was the panel?
It was really good. There was, like, it was part of the Juno Awards. I think. Well, not
Juno Weekend. Yeah. I guess, like, everybody's, like, celebrating the Junos in different ways, I guess. Yeah.
So there's quite a bit of CITR representation. Mm-hmm. Janice brought out a lot of shout-outs and, like, references.
That's awesome.
Were really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Hamm was there.
Yeah.
Member of Evaporators. And he had a lot of Nardwuar references. Well, they all had a lot of Nardwuar references, which was really cool. And it was really good. I mean, they talked about how CITR is a great place for, like, kind of connections and music, and there's even been bands that have been started here, so that could be something you kind of cover.
Yeah,
I know. Cub, as far as I know, was started here, the
Cub?
Band on Mint Records.
Okay.
And they even mentioned that they said that Mint Records essentially started here, so I'm not sure what that means, but I think the former members kind of...
Mint Records, is that related to Mint Bill?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know exactly the history, so I don't want to get it wrong, but
right.
what they said was it essentially started at CHR, so there's lots of cool stuff that has started here.
I've seen
the
a
connections.
New
Mint
episode,
Bill.
New episode?
Huh?
New
yeah.
episode?
I've seen a Mint Bill interact with a lot of archive stuff through Instagram, and I'm wondering if that's, like, related to that, but I will look into it.
Yeah, something we can do. Maybe... bands that have started or connections.
Cub was the name?
Yeah.
Let's try that.
Okay, take note of that.
And they even, what else did they talk about? Oh, they talked about how, like, one of the members said that, like, in the, like, way back in the day, like, the only place to really find out about music is, like, campus stations and CITR.
Mm-hmm.
And, because you couldn't get music everywhere like you do, like you have now. Like, you're streaming, you could stream almost everything. And,
yeah.
But, like, I really agree with that. I think way back in the day before streaming took over, it was really the only place we could find out about new music.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that is the case. Like, it's just morphed quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I listen to a lot of shows on CITR. I try to listen, like, almost all the time just to catch everything and learn about all the other shows and hosts. But I always hear DJs, like, bantering off each other and showing each other new tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, everyone has a huge library of music, but it can be overwhelming. That's how I feel. Like, there's just so much music out there. It's hard to make choices. And by me doing my radio show every week, it forces me to, like,
narrow down
like 10 to 15 albums each week.
Oh,
and
wow.
What?
10 to 15 each week. Wow.
Well, yeah, something like that. I stay on top of a lot of new music. And
I feel like
if I didn't do a radio show, I would just fall into the same music all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the radio station really kind of forces me to check out new music. And yeah, so I still think.
That's awesome.
Music is really like the station is a great place to find out about music.
Yeah, for sure.
I
think checking out the charts.
Checking out the charts.
Yeah, has been a big part of, like, working at the archives. Like, I love just looking through the charts and seeing what was playing
and
back in the day.
Just being in, like,
tuning in.
The record library, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just talking to people.
Great
here.
Resource.
Like, you learn so much about
it,
too. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And what did I... Actually, I want to touch on something. On the 604 panel, the show that you were promoting it, you had mentioned that you were nervous about getting things wrong. Like, if you get it wrong, don't get mad. I would say don't be nervous about that. Like, just continue to do what you're doing. And if you get something slightly incorrect, someone can come on
always.
And they can correct it.
Yeah.
So,
don't, it's part of the learning process.
Yeah,
don't feel nervous. Even.
Yeah, thank you for
that.
It's very sweet. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a really great panel, and it's your kind of first foray into events. Like, and then you also had the video archive the other day.
Oh, the time capsule?
Yes.
Time
capsule. Michael edited those together. It was an hour and a half.
A shout out to Roz, though. Roz helped out.
Yeah, Roz and Michael. Roz is another Reading Room volunteer.
Oh, you edited it all into a single video?
Yeah, so it would
we didn't want to do, because we had the Vimeo ones that you recommended, and then... We had
There's
the
old
YouTube,
YouTube
ones.
Yeah, but then the ads would have gone in the way,
the ads
too.
Would have gone in the way, and then the...
unfortunately.
It just wouldn't look nice, you know what I mean? So we were just like, let's just edit this all together. And it wasn't that hard. It was, I guess, we were just worried about taking up space on my my computer, but it was pretty straightforward, mm-hmm. honestly. But it was so fun. Like, just,
well, I don't think ads are all the too bad, I guess. That could be part of the charm.
Yeah, I guess so. I think it would add to it.
No, you want to see like a Sensodyne Pro Enamel ad.
Okay, well.
Just add the time capsule. It's like, Sensodyne Pro Enamel kills 99%.
I guess it would be funny and like kind of absurd because it's just like timely, you know.
I guess.
Like, to look at cool vintage footage and we're at a radio station and everything's cool and then it's like a Sensodyne.
Sensodyne.
I don't know.
I've heard it on air where some people are getting ready to play a track and mm-hmm. then they're like, oh, wait, I got to talk for like 10 more seconds because an ad.
Oh.
So
yeah,
I don't know, but yeah, kudos for doing all the editing work. It looked like it was really cool.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
It was.
Thank
you. Thanks.
What else did I want to talk about? Oh, yeah, some other things you could look into is like the history of the student executive.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
and like how that came about.
Yeah,
because like I said, when I was doing that research the other day, I was looking at all the past presidents that go back to 1937.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really a clear indication on where the student executive started.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you might not know about it, but the student executive is pretty unique to the campus stations. Like, there's not many that have this kind of structure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you go to all the campus radio stations across Canada, I think NCRA, the National Campus Radio Association, they have like a list of them.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, if you just go to their sites and go to the about or like the contact page, you'll see it's quite a bit of a different structure.
Mm.
Traditionally, they'll have like a station manager, music director, program director, and those are kind of the core positions.
Mm.
They'll have these like ancillary other positions like volunteer coordinator, production coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're just term-based based on funding or anyways. And then they'll have the volunteer members
mm-hmm.
that do their radio show below that, board of directors and whatnot.
Yeah.
But they don't really have like a student executive position.
Interesting.
I think it's a really like brilliant structure and it's like really like,
yeah,
it's really like well thought out and it's really like mm-hmm. enables a whole bunch of students to come mm-hmm. through and have all these positions and things that they can do.
Yeah.
So it'd be cool to find out like exactly when that started and. I don't know how you'd go about that, but it could be directly contacting people.
We can interview mm-hmm. people about it too.
Yeah.
Find out exactly when it happened. Because
like,
there's so many advantages of having the student executive because they're like, they're essentially like kind of the leadership and mm-hmm. like the bosses and they like kind of set the tone
mm-hmm.
and they have a really cool collective that kind of works together and they have like different friendships. Like stations might not exactly have that. They may have kind of similar situations or in dynamics, but I think
mm-hmm.
the one that we have here at CHR is really unique and really awesome.
Yeah.
Also,
No, you go ahead first.
Also, I think we're just like particularly blessed with like our execs are really, 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 really good.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really on top of their stuff.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. They're super involved and like they and like with that structure, I would say like even the kind of ideas kind of flow up and you can have these really cool, interesting mm-hmm. structures. Like, for example, we have Discorder magazine.
Yeah.
Most campus stations don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have their student newspaper, which is mm-hmm. separate from the station, but mm-hmm. we have our own.
Yeah.
And like at some point, I'm sure somebody said, hey, we should start our own magazine. And that came about and it's still here today. And we should, ideas like we should do Shindig and it's been around ever mm-hmm. since then. New collectives have started and similar to like the archives, like at some point said, or JT said, we should start a collective.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think with the structure, ideas can really flow upwards.
Can I ask what like the structure was like when you were in CKXU?
Yeah.
Like
That was a really basic, it's a pretty small station mm-hmm. and we just had that structure that I'd mentioned. There's the station manager, program director and mm-hmm. music director. And that was it. There was not much else that they mm-hmm. could afford for staff. And
mm-hmm.
I think they've kind of had a few extra positions, but when I was there, it was just those three core positions.
Oh, wow.
And I was the music director
mm-hmm.
From 2006 to 2010.
2010.
Mm. Yeah, so I've been involved in radio.
For
a long, long time.
And what was the transition?
Crazy to mention 2006. Oh, man.
What was that, like, going from that to CITR, like, for what reasons did you end up coming around here?
Yeah, because you said you stopped in 2010. Was that when you moved to Vancouver?
Or? Yeah, I could actually kind of go over that. You sure it wouldn't be boring?
No.
We want to know. Yeah, we had a list of questions.
Okay, I don't want to be boring.
Have you seen that movie?
What's that?
Have you seen that movie Airplane?
Yeah.
That part where he's telling that really boring story.
No,
okay.
This is what
anyways.
The archives are about. Yeah.
Well, yeah. How about we go about, well, I'll just go like kind of year by year and I'll just do a rough.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So like I was a music director in 2006 and I've been involved with the National Campus Radio because you're all connected through the email list. And so I was pretty familiar with CITR just through that because all the music directors kind of know each other. And so I was aware of like Luke Meat, the former music director. And then, all the music directors, they email the charts to each other. They look at each other's playlists and they connect with each other on how to get new music. Because this was back in the day where we get mailed physical CDs all the time. Like every day I'd almost have like an armload of music.
Amazing.
Before everything went on streaming. But yeah, it was crazy the amount of music that we got back in the day. And I often think that like the music director is probably like, well, the best job at the radio station. Sorry. Not to throw any shade on like.
I think it's the coolest job. I'm not even going to.
I mean, station manager, program director, they're all like super important. But
yeah, of course.
The music directors are kind of more well known outside of the station.
Yeah.
They're almost like not the rock stars, but they're really like connected to other people.
Because they bring the music to the station.
Because you're connecting with promoters on the phone all the time. Yeah. People from like New York and LA, so they're phoning you to check if you're playing their music and you're like going to all these shows and concerts for free. Like they want music directors going there and they're pretty well known across Canada, a little bit more than most station staff are. So that's why I was really excited to get the music director job. It was just like,
that's awesome.
One of the best jobs I've had.
And you did that for 4 years? Was that like, okay.
And so I had known CITR for quite some time, like way back in 2007, as far back as that. Wow. And that's the through the National Campus Radio Conference.
Oh,
CITR hosted it. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I want to bring my artifact. Let me grab it from my
pen. Okay. Yeah. Show and tell. We can post a photo of it so whoever's
so
listening
can see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's something else.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so this is a button that I still have. Mm-hmm. From 2007, the National Campus Radio Conference. So someone at CITR made these buttons. For some reason, it doesn't say CITR on it, but it's June 11th to 16th, 2007. And I went to that, and that was my first like connection to CITR.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, they decided to host it downtown instead of here at UBC. So most of the conference activities were at SFU Harbor Center. Mm-hmm. I think they chose that just because it was easier for hotels to be booked. And
was it like a really big thing or
It's fairly big. Like all the stations across Canada send people there. Like sometimes it's almost all their staff or just a few. Yeah, I think we send quite a few people. The very first person I met was Melanie Coles. Mm-hmm. Like when you first register, and she was the, I forgot her title, might have been volunteer coordinator, but she also did the website, the previous iteration of.
Oh, no way.
So she like took our info and like registered us the very first day. And then.
That's so cool.
Yeah, who was all there? It's tons of different people. And so it was a whole week on campus, on SFU campus. Mm. But then one day we did an event here, where, like we all took the bus out to UBC and then we had a whole day session here and Nardwar was there and he did kind of a version of his TED talk where he's like interviewing people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. And that was like my first being on campus at CITR. And then, the rest of the week was just held downtown. Quite a few staff were there. I got to meet Jules, the former board chair, host of Crimes and Treasons, one of the hosts of Crimes and Treasons.
Whoa,
he was doing a DJ workshop way back in 2007.
Oh.
So that
oh
was
my
like
God.
My first.
It's been around for a while. I didn't realize.
Yeah. It's my first connection to him. What else did I meet? Quite a few people, like Ben Lai, too. I remember meeting him at the old, not the Lamplighter, where Shindig was held.
The first one?
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe it's slipping my
mind. Pop quiz.
pop quiz.
The
I pulled up the
it's upstairs.
Oh, upstairs,
Railway
like...
Club. Yeah, it was at Railway Club. Right. Yeah, that's where I met Ben. And then there was also some shows or some events that they had down at the old Lamplighter. Mm-hmm. So that was, 2007. And then I went back and went back to Lethbridge, obviously, after the conference.
Yeah.
And then the next year, 2008, I went to the next radio conference, which was in Windsor, CJAM, and kind of a smaller station as well, but... Windsor, right next to Detroit, and the very first day, I'd met Brenda Grinnell the first night, because the first day they go out to like a pub and like everyone just kind of meets each other and mingles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was the first person I met, and she was the she mentioned that she was the new station manager at CITR because the previous one was Lydia, who was also pretty involved at the radio conference, and then the next day, Luke went up at NCRC and he mentioned that Lydia was no longer station manager. And then Brenda was the new station manager because everyone was probably wondering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During the...
Well, it was like the opening plenary. Yeah. So that was like my first connection. Another first connection with Brenda. So that's 2008. I'll go down to like 2009. Well, just a short one on here. I was thinking about moving to Montreal or Toronto. Mm-hmm. And so I went to NCRC in Montreal and just for like a day, to check it out. And I was there with Tenny Garakanian. She's a CFRE music director, which is a small satellite campus at University of Toronto.
Oh, okay.
And Omar Hussein, he was the music director at CJLO, which is a small AM station out of Concordia. Well, I guess I shouldn't say small, but they're just the population on campus is small, what I mean by that. No station is small. So 2010, I moved to Vancouver just to go to grad school. I went to the Center for Digital Media, part of UBC.
And that was a two-year program?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and the crazy thing is the place that I moved into was below Chris Horrific, the host of Parts Unknown on Monday.
Oh. Yeah.
So, yeah, like what are the odds that I ended up below a CHR
person? That's crazy. Great show,
like,
too.
Pull. Yeah. Maybe there's some connection to CHR that was pulling me. And the other crazy thing, I just lived a few houses down from Brenda because she lived in that area too.
Yeah. Stars aligned.
Yeah. So just crazy that I just had these like immediate connections to CITR.
Actually, I am curious because like I think it says like you became like the student exec board of directors representative in 2011. Were you like also a student at UBC or?
Well, my school is part of UBC, the master's degree.
Okay. Like
my master's has
I thought
UBC
it was an
symbol.
SFU thing for some reason.
It's part of SFU. It's part of Emily Carr and BC.
Oh, so like...
You get all four master's degrees.
So cool.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, but it's off campus.
So, yeah, yeah. But it's next to Emily Carr, right?
Yep.
Or, yeah, okay.
Yeah, Center for Digital Media.
Yeah, a few times. Cool.
Yes. Yeah, so I signed up right when I moved here in 2010, but I couldn't do anything that first semester because I was so busy with school.
Mm-hmm.
And then, 2011, February's, or January, I started applying to get a show and I was like really gung-ho about trying to get a show. And I don't know. I'm not sure how I got a show. I think it was kind of hard to get a show, but maybe just my connections or experience kind of helped that out. So
was it harder than it is today, you think? Or like
harder back then? The grid was really full and like,
right. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah.
There's a lot more openings now, I think. Mm-hmm. But the only option I had was 12 to 1 a.m. on Monday. So after the jazz show with Gavin Walker. And so I'd get home at like 2 a.m.
Oh, so you went for it? Whoa.
Yeah.
For how long?
Like almost a year.
Oh my gosh.
And then, because I was younger, so I'd just go to class the next day so I could manage it.
Wow.
And I guess that's where I got my first show, 2011. Mm-hmm. I guess we could play that track.
Yeah,
yeah,
let's go for it. So this is Marching Song by Esben and the Witch.
Sweet.
Thank you.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is the CIT Archive Show, and we're currently playing Marching Song by Esben and the Witch, which is one of the first songs that P-Bone, our guest today, played on his radio show, Canada Post Rock. Please continue to tell us. Sorry?
The name of the show?
Canada Post Rock.
Canada Post Rock.
Yeah.
Yes.
I could explain that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of an odd name. In some ways, I don't really like it. I just wanted to pick something, and so I just had to stick with something.
Mm. Okay.
But I play a lot of, like, post-rock, like, kind of, like, mm. I don't know, like, Mogwai or, like, Godspeed and just kind of those longer mm-hmm. tracks. And oftentimes, I'm trying to play a lot of Canadian stuff because we have to play a lot of Canadian music at CanCon.
Yeah.
So I'd play a lot of Constellation Records stuff just to meet those requirements, which is Canadian. So, like, and then just to play on, like, Canada Post, like, mail services.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I just got to pick something.
Oh, I get
That's
it.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I mentioned it sometimes, but it's, kind of a strange odd title. I don't know. I don't really like the title, but I was like, I got to stick with something.
I think it works.
Otherwise,
yeah.
I'll just keep changing it.
For sure. Yeah.
I wanted to ask, because, like, you've been around for so long and you've been on, like, the board for so long, like, and, like, you've had a show since, like, 2011. Like, how has being on air and, like, the station in general changed since you've been here? Do you feel
It's a good question. I mean, it's changed quite a bit, like, the location.
Yeah.
It's way more accessible here.
Mm.
As far as, like, how it's changed content-wise, I would say primarily when I started, I feel like almost everyone there was, like, almost just music heads. Like, they're just interested in, like, music that people haven't heard of. And I'd say it has shifted a little bit more into, like, more arts and culture and activism focus as well. I mean, it's still a big portion of music heads and, like, people trying to find out new music. But I would say that I've seen that kind of shift since my days at CKXU and early days of CITR and just kind of how people, kind of the shows that they do and the contributions they make. So it's shifted a little bit from just being college radio music heads to those kind of other areas, which are really great. Like, it's cool that people are doing kind of shows on that stuff, like activism and arts and culture.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you mentioned this is, like, part of CKXU thing. Is this, like, just not... And you also, like, I assume you go to, like, things like the NCRC and things like that. Is this just, like, a more isolated thing, like, with CITR? Or would you say it's, like, just a more broadly across, like, campus radio stations and
I think, Canada? Yeah, probably broadly across, like, all campus stations across Canada. Mm. Just because I think a big factor is just the streaming thing. Like, everyone has access to this music. It's not... Previously, the only place you could find certain music was the stations because they had such access to underground music you wouldn't find anywhere else.
Mm.
But yeah, I would say that's probably a big change that I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we only got a few minutes left, but we'll try to blow through some of this stuff.
Sure.
So 2011, I finally got my radio show, and then I went to the AGM, and then I applied to be a board of director. Even way back then, I didn't get it. Like, Duncan got it because obviously he's been around a lot longer. So this guy's a little bit newer, so and Duncan's awesome, so it was well deserved. And then I met, like, Nardwar there. It was a pretty crazy AGM. Like, he's always just doing
that's awesome.
And met a whole bunch of other people, and then I decided to get on the board of directors student rep. Because the student executive has two board reps, and I was like, I'll take that one. It's close to being a board member. Mm. And then, that whole summer, I was pretty involved in the station. Like, I had so much spare time because I only had a part-time job with this kind of research project at school. So I had a lot of free time, so I was coming to the station quite a bit, just helping out, like, Brenda in lots of different ways and just different student executive activities. And, it was like probably the best summer I ever had because, like, there's just my first time in the city getting to experience summer here. So,
summer's the best year.
So many cool things I didn't get to experience because my first year here. So,
yeah,
that was, like, probably the best summer I had. And that was just being the first year on student executive. And, so I did that for about a year and then I graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to take, like, almost a year off because I found a job and I couldn't, like...
Oh.
The schedule just didn't work, and so I took, like, almost a year hiatus.
Okay.
And then I ended up getting the job, and I think my job was, like, I got it through a connection. Well, not through a connection, but influenced by my experience at the station because I do a lot of website and social media stuff.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, and I got so a good it was like reference. A... Yeah, because I was doing that stuff here. I was helping out with the website and helping out with the CITR Twitter. And yeah, Brenda gave me a good reference. So I kind of owe the station like my career. So.
For sure. So and I think I will too because this whole archives thing I think is what I'm looking
for. Yeah, it could help you find your next career path. I think.
Yeah, definitely.
I think a lot of people have done that, just taken on careers that were kind of like a springboard through the station.
And 14 years later, you have your show still going.
Yeah.
Still involved with media.
Yes.
A photographer.
Pretty much from like 2013 until about 2018, I just was a community member. Like I'd come here weekly, do a show. And then I tried to stay involved at events. Mm-hmm. And then 2018, got on the board. And then I've just kind of been involved in the board activities. And I try to go to events and stuff like that quite a bit.
I want to ask, like, how long have you been, like, because you're, like, kind of, like, our de facto photographer almost.
Sort of.
For, like, all the events, Like, how long have you been doing that?
Well, I've been doing photography probably since, like, 2016, but not, like, too seriously until recently.
I see. Okay.
But, yeah. Nice. But, yeah, that's kind of my history, like 2011 to now, and I still like staying involved. I still like doing a show, so I like to continue as long as I can. And
I love to see long-term involvement. I hope I can do that too.
Just like don't burn yourself out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
contribute in